Remember this week that you are training for godliness. You've been doing it, hopefully, your whole Christian life. But have you been training the way that God designed you to do? I want you to remember that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not automatically become just like Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says that we're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, you're not there yet. Well, what do we have to do in order to achieve Christ-likeness to the best that we can while we're still here on earth? Well, the only thing you can do is train to do it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, exercise or train yourself towards godliness, for bodily exercise profits a lot, really, right? But it says only a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that is now and that is yet to come. You know, this guy here, Usain Bolt, he is the one that is the fastest human on the planet right now. 9.58 seconds for the 100 meter. I didn't put the 200 meter. He also holds the world record in that. You might remember him from Jamaica. And this race here, the picture up here, is a lot closer than another race that he won, if you might remember, where he kind of slowed to a gallop and looked back to see what's going on behind him. I mean, he just toasted everyone. This man has done a phenomenal thing by way of speed. And you know how he got this way? Well, the way he got this way is that he was born in Jamaica. And being born in Jamaica, he naturally was able to run a 9.58. Would you believe me if I told you that when he got to the age where he wanted to participate in the Olympics, that he just decided to call the Olympic Committee and say, I want to give it a go? And then they said, well, I guess so, you just as well. And so he showed up that day. They gave him a uniform and decided to run. You wouldn't believe that at all, would you? Because you know what I know. In order to get a time like that, you have to practice. You have to train. You have to work hard at it. In fact, you have to put a lot of effort into it. Our text this morning is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want you to see today, I want you to see that in being in training for godliness doesn't just happen. It has to be done with effort, with real effort. It doesn't just magically appear. Both physical and spiritual training, it means you have to get off the couch. The doctor may tell me that I have to lose 20 pounds. I pay her enough so she doesn't tell me that. She may tell me that I have to lose 20 pounds. According to what one chart says, I don't have that much to lose, but I still have to lose more. And I did, probably 2 weeks ago, I got on the scale, and I was quite happy. And I think it was last week I got on the scale, and I saw that I wasn't quite as happy with myself that day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, in our text, it tells us that we are running a race, or we ought to run a race. Paul tells it to Timothy, we're running a race. It's also in Hebrews. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, don't you know that those who run in a race, they all run to win the prize? when you run a race, why do you do it? To win. When I run a race, I do it so I can say I ran the race. But that when you're in competition, you're doing it, you're going out to run and to win. It says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way. Our training means we have to break a sweat. We have to break a sweat when we train. If I get on the treadmill and I decide I'm going to train to run a marathon, and I get on there and I mosey, am I going to make it? No. If I'm going at 1 mile an hour where my grandma can walk faster than me and she's dead, that if she could move faster than I could on the treadmill, I'm probably not going to be able to train right. Does it depend on who I am, how I'm able to train? Sure. Some people will be able to start faster than others. Some people, because the way God's made our body, will be able to get up and go and do it. But it doesn't happen until we get off the couch. We have to actually do something about it. Not only that, we should learn from the experts. If it's training, learn from somebody that says the way we need to eat, or the way we need to run if we're running, or the way we need to lift weights if we're going to lift weights, the way we need to dribble the basketball if we're going to practice for basketball, or dribble the soccer ball. Do you know you dribble a soccer ball? That's what they call it, but you only use your feet. Now, that's the real football. What we have in America is handball, but it doesn't matter. You have somebody train you and guide you, come alongside you. And while you have a pastor and Sunday school teachers and other mentors that you enjoy and have their guidance, you've got the best expert, the Holy Spirit, who uses His Word to help you spiritually to grow. I'm combining here, of course, the physical, the spiritual, even as Paul does in this passage and as he does in 1 Timothy 4. The physical things that we do is very alike to the spiritual things we do. Spiritually, when you run on a treadmill, that not necessarily is a tremendous uplifting soul thing, but it does great things for your body. We need to do great things for our soul, but we have to get up off the couch, learn from the experts, which is in God's Word, and then, on top of that, we need to make a plan. I just can't go about, he says it here in this passage, run the race in such a way to obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is self-controlled in these things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, not without a plan, but with a specific goal and plan in mind. What sort of plan ought we to have spiritually? Well, spiritually, I need to be in God's Word, because that's who the expert is, God. And then I need to be in prayer and fellowship with Him. And as I take in God's Word, I need to live it out in my life. So I need to do service for the Lord, not because it gets me to heaven, but because I'm already going to heaven because I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And then it's always, always beneficial to have an accountability partner. Somebody's going to ask if you're exercising physically, to do your exercise this week or today, whenever you guys meet. Maybe they train with you. We need to make sure that we spiritually are taking God's Word and using it for prayer and serving others, using God's Word through our hands, demonstrating who God is, and then having that accountability. One such accountability is being here on Sunday and Wednesday, maybe Tuesday, or maybe Thursday too, or whenever else. That's good to be with God's people. It helps you stay accountable to have somebody you talk to. Maybe you're a wife or somebody else at church, or another friend, Christian friend, that will help you in your Christian walk. All these things are important because we are training, are gymnasiuming ourselves towards godliness. And so in order to do that, we've got to break a sweat to get going. He says here, run in such a way that you might obtain the prize. When I go exercise, I know it's doing me something because I sweat. Now you people with hair don't understand what this means, because you've got something to catch your sweat. My sweat just rolls off my head. And so I have to constantly, you know, use the towel to dry off my sweat. Otherwise, it looks like I've been crying. Of course, that's not all bad. People think I'm really working hard then. We have to break a sweat to get some good exercise in if we are. There is benefit if I am just moving, not breaking a sweat, but I get up, I go up and down the stairs. I move my arms. I like to move my arms from the dish to my mouth. But if I'm moving my arms any particular way, so that way, hey, it's movement, getting the blood flowing. You get up in the morning and you stretch all that blood everywhere, get your muscles going, and then roll back in bed. You go and do those things that are healthy for you, but if you're training, you've got to put some real effort into it. You've got to break a sweat. You've got to get going. Why? Because you'll never make a 9:58 100 meter unless you're going to bust your tail doing it. Spiritually speaking, it's just not a matter of just getting off the couch and learning. It's putting it to practice and putting it to practice with our heart, with everything that you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, talks about those people who haven't put much effort into their spiritual life. And I hope this doesn't describe you. Brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as fleshly, as babes in Christ. You always have to go by the context of Paul. In Romans 8, those that are spiritual and those that are carnal are the difference between the saved and the unsaved. Here, he's talking about those people that are spiritual, who are putting forth the effort, that are striving to train to be godly. He's talking about those people compared to those who are, maybe they're still sitting on the couch, or they've gotten up off the couch, spiritually speaking, but they're not putting hardly any effort into their Christian walk. So he calls them carnal. They're worldly minded. He calls them babes or babies in Christ. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Not physical, but spiritual. For until now you're not able to receive it, and even now you still are not able. For if you are still carnal, for where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, Corinthians, which there were, are you not carnal, behaving like mere unregenerate man? What about you? Look at who you are, what's going on in your own life with the world. Look at who you are, look at who you are and what's going on in your life compared in relationship with other people. Is there strife? Is there envy? Is there battling, divisions? That shows Christian immaturity. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14 is similar. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the very first principles, how to, just to use a physical illustration, how to stretch, all right, how to warm up, the proper form when you, I'm going to use running because I like to do running. When you run, the proper form, you know, you don't bend all over and watch your toes as you run. You keep your head up, your chin up, and your shoulders back. As you run your arms forward instead of across your body. You learn the baby things. You have to learn the baby things. If you don't learn the baby things, you can't learn the grown-up things, right? So you learn the simple things. The kids are in school. And in school, they learn 1 + 1 = 2. As adults, do you understand how fundamental that is to the rest of math? If 1 + 1 = something other than 2, you mess up the whole system. Long division includes addition, subtraction, and multiplication, doesn't it? You have to multiply the number, then you have to subtract it, and then you have to know what, when you're multiplying, you got to add numbers in there, and it all becomes one long, huge mess that we all love when we do long division. You have to know the baby stuff, not to belittle you, but the little simple stuff, in order to do the big stuff. He says, you're here at the baby stuff. So how do you get to the big stuff? Is train yourself in godliness, he says in 1 Timothy 4, here to run in such a way to win the prize. You have to put the effort into it. You won't be a basketball star unless you're out there on the courts every day and it's painful and you're sore and you don't feel like doing it. You won't get it done. But you won't get it done if you don't do it. If you don't do that, you're not going to make the star. But if you do those things, you know what happens? You might get really good. You might play professional. You might become the next Michael Jordan, for he was the king of all basketball, as far as basketball is concerned. And then he retired and became king again and again. You look at the scriptures here, and you might ask yourself these kinds of questions. Am I doing the exercises that I need to do as a Christian? Am I challenging myself, not just reading my Bible and doing some good works now and then and making sure I'm accountable to doing that? That's great. But am I asking myself when I read God's Word challenging questions like, what does that mean? Or how do I apply that to my life? If you come on Wednesday nights, you know what I'm talking about because we do the similar thing on Wednesday nights. I lead asking you tough questions. It's my turn to ask you hard questions. Sometimes you return the favor, and that's good. Challenge yourself in prayer to be more than rub-a-dub-dub things for the grub. Spend a certain time in prayer. Pray for specific things, specific people. Pray for your enemies. Challenge yourself to serve others in ways you don't want to. We always enjoy serving people ways we want to serve. What about the things that you don't like doing? Have you thought about how you can serve the Lord, put your faith to practice by doing the things you don't like doing? What about thinking of creative ways to serve other people? Doing something new that you've never done and don't think you'd even be any good at. You might be surprised. Challenge yourself in areas you're not familiar with. Challenge yourself to worship God more faithfully, privately, in a variety of ways, writing letters to Him, singing to Him, giving, or other ideas. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not to men. Let me tell you what it says in the Greek. Whatever you do, do it out of the soul, as unto the Lord. Well, that puts a little different flavor to it, doesn't it? It's the same meaning, but for me to think, it's common, maybe because we say things, love you with all my heart. But to say with all your soul, come out of your soul, you think of your entire being, at least I do. You put your whole self into it. If you're going to do it right. And do it with all your might. Why? Because you're serving the Lord, not men. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says something similar. Whatever your hands find to do it with all your might. The reason he gives there, a secular reason, it says, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. In other words, if you're going to work, do it now, because you're just going to die. That's always a lovely thought, isn't it? Ecclesiastes is one of those books that you're just not excited to read all the time. We should do everything with all of our hearts, all of our might, to honor God. If I'm going to honor God, if I'm going to grow spiritually, I've got to do it by breaking the sweat. Not physically, but spiritually put real effort into it. The other day, as I was getting ready for today, I sat in my office. I sat back and I'm thinking and thinking and thinking, and finally it started thinking and trying to put everything all together so it fits right. And as I'm doing that, I get to the end of that, and I said, boy, I'm going to do something else. That's hard work. It is. If it's hard work, if you are going to God's Word and you're trying to really build upon it so that way you can live it out in your life, or you can explain it to others, or if you have a phrase or something going on that you really have to try to grasp the whole meaning of, you're doing research on it. It's hard work. But if I go to the gym and I watch other people lift weights, am I going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? No, not at all. Or maybe more accurate, if other people watch me instead of doing it, no, that wouldn't work. We will not grow spiritually unless we train ourselves to be spiritual. Do the hard work. That means not only breaking the sweat, but being disciplined. Being disciplined. Verse 25, it says, Everyone who competes for the prize is self-temperate, self-controlled in all things. Not just in some things, but all things. We have to be self-controlled. Do you know how hard that is? That's like impossible. Mrs. bought me a bag of chips yesterday. Do you know how excited I was? And I disciplined myself to the degree I did not eat every last one of the chips yesterday. I left a handful today so I can say I didn't eat it all yesterday. That took real discipline. When we are honest with ourselves and do what we need to do, we have to say no. We have to say no. We have to sacrifice from doing the things that we want to do. If I go home and I sit on the couch and watch TV, am I going to lose the weight that I want? Or am I going to gain the physical abilities that I want? No, I'm not. We ought to desire to be like Christ. And if we desire to be like Christ, we should get up off the couch and do what it takes to be like Christ. And not just to, I'm using the picture of getting up off the couch, not just get up off the couch, but then put forth the effort. Because maybe getting up off the couch during commercial break to go to the kitchen to get, of course, chips, then come back and sit on the couch, guess what? That little bit of exercise didn't do me much good. as much, as hard as I want it to have been. And the sweat that I broke out in, running to the kitchen before the 800 commercials gets done playing on the TV, and running back, it's not going to count for much, will it? And spiritually speaking, we need to think the same way. We're going to have to take and make real cuts in our life that we need to. Those cuts might have to be with the time that I have. Boy, I could go and sit and watch my favorite show, or I could read the Word and pray. There's nothing wrong with me doing both. But if one is keeping me from doing the other, that is, if watching TV is keeping me from reading my Bible and praying, then guess what I have to do? Cut it back, cut it off, or cut it back. In the same way, if having the chips right there in the living room is going to keep me from getting some sort of exercise by going to the kitchen to get them, maybe I should keep them in the kitchen. Maybe I should get rid of them, right? I'll try to finish them off tonight. Whatever we do, we know that we've got to make the effort, and that means making sacrifices. It could be time. It could be financial sacrifices. Hey, if I want to challenge myself to honor God with my money, maybe I need to stop getting something that I'm enjoying, going down to Starbucks and getting $8 coffees or whatever it might be, or going down to Baker's and buying 18 bags of chips or whatever it might be. And instead, use that money for God's glory. Might be with the effort that I put in, the sacrifice of the energy that I'm going to have to expel. You don't have to get up tonight or ask to borrow a seminary journal of mine and go and read through there. Those people, a lot of times they talk over my head a little bit. I have to go through and really think about what they're saying. These are high scholars that are thought through biblically what some features, sometimes very minor, but thought through it, and then are taking 20 pages to explain it. And as they're explaining it, it makes sense, but you really got to think hard through it. That doesn't mean you go pick up a seminary journal. You may never pick up a seminary journal. Your goal is not to be able to pick up a seminary journal. Your goal is to be more like Christ. Don't forget that. But if you don't put effort into going home and reading your Bible, even reading the hard parts, if you don't challenge yourself to really grasp hold of what he's saying there, I've heard people talk about the Bible as a place you can go to get nuggets of truth. No. The Bible is not written, here's a good verse here, and here's a good verse there. The whole thing is put together in order to make a single argument, or a series of arguments, or instructions. It all fits together. It's not pick and choose. So when you come to hard parts in the Bible, you don't say to yourself, well, I'll just kind of read the words, but not really think through what it means, because that's a hard subject. Even Peter says that. Paul's writings are hard. But you challenge yourself. Maybe you don't get it the first couple times. You can cheat like I do. See what somebody else has to say about it. Then you always compare and see if you agree, if you think that's what the scriptures are saying there. Challenge yourself by sacrificing the junk food, the time that we need to be spending with God, but we're spending rather doing something else. It could be time, it could be money, it could be energy, whatever. If it's keeping you from doing the work, from breaking a sweat, from being disciplined to do God's work, then you need to consider what you might need to do to sacrifice that. And then we've got to be consistent. We have to be consistent all the time. We need to sacrifice ourselves. Romans, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 said, tells us to lay aside every weight and sin that snares us, that keeps us from doing those things. And then we have to be consistent. We have to keep going with it. When I use a treadmill, I look and try to make a certain distance goal. And I do that because then it tells me I've got that much further to go. Sometimes I look at it and say, oh, when am I ever going to get there? And sometimes I drop it down to a walk. Why? Because I'm tired of running. But I've got to meet that goal. If I just get on there and just push start and walk however long I want to walk, I'm probably not going to make that goal. And if I go only once or twice a week and skip for a few weeks and then maybe go another time or two, guess what? I'm not going to get any benefit of it. When early this last year was nice out, but I didn't make the time to go running, being busy with many things, and I'd find myself going out maybe once a week going running. Now, that's not a bad thing, but I'm not going to get to the position that I'd like to be in. In order to do that, I have to, every time, always be consistent with it. Same with God's Word. You might miss a day of Scripture reading and prayer, maybe two. But if you don't get right back on there, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall out of that habit. We have to be consistent. It says here, now they do it for Verse 25, anyone competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one beating the air, but I discipline my body to bring it into subjection. At least when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Here he says, I'm disciplining my soul so that in everything that I do, day after day, week after week, year after year, as I express the Bible, the Scriptures, I don't disqualify myself from the ministry by the temptations that are always right there. In your Christian life, you might ask yourself, how much effort am I really putting in to growing spiritually? How much effort am I really doing? You know what's really easy to do is this. Well, I read my Bible and pray every day. Well, I help somebody about every day. That's good, but it hasn't become habit. If I get to the point where I can consistently run that 3 miles at a good pace, if I just make my limit there, guess what? I'll miss out on further goals. The 4 miles, the 6 miles, I don't know about 10 miles, but I will never make it that far. Why? Because my body gets used to, I can go 3 miles. If my body gets used to going 3 miles, then if there comes a race where it's a 10K and I have to go 6 miles, my body after 3 miles is going to say, you're on drugs, there's no way. We are not doing this. Why? Because I didn't keep the effort up. I wasn't consistent with it. You have to look and see, am I putting forth the effort, the constant effort? Maybe I've reached a certain level, as we might measure it, if you will, a certain level of spiritual maturity. But if I think that's it, if I've reached that plateau, if I've reached that Beulah land, that's the one theological issue of that Beulah land, is you come to a plateau where you're there, and ultimately the true Beulah land is up in heaven. The writers at a Keswick with theology, which you don't care about, but believed you can get a certain point where you are there. You're like Christ. But the real truth is we're constantly growing, aren't we? And so we need to be striving more and more, more and more to be more like Christ. And maybe I reach a certain area where, hey, I'm getting good at doing these things. So challenge yourself with something else. A.W. Tozer, he's a good one for quotes. He writes this, "May not the inadequacy of much of our spiritual experience, may not the inadequacy of much of our spiritual experience be traced back to our habit of skipping through the corridors of the kingdom like children through the marketplace, chattering about everything, but pausing to learn the true value of nothing. May our spiritual life be such that we would, well, I'm saved, and we go along happy-go-lucky because we're going to heaven, and have never really delved into the scriptures, never applied it to our lives, changed our heart to follow God the way that we should, the way He wants us to. Our spiritual experience shouldn't be, I've gone to church 50 or 104 times this last year. That shouldn't be just my spiritual experience. That could be part of it, but what did I grow from it? We need to make the effort. We need to discipline ourselves to say no to ungodliness. Discipline ourselves to grow in God's grace. We have to put forth the effort. And the more effort you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. You want to get good at basketball? Then you're going to be out there often playing basketball. If you want to be good at playing bridge, someone's got to teach me that. I don't know how to play it. If you want to be good at bridge, then you're going to have to get out there and do it. If you want to be good at putting puzzles together, I'm okay, but not very good. If you want to be good at it, you're going to have to put effort into it and go beyond the 25, that's my favorite, the 25-piece one to the 40-quadrillion one. Why? If you do that, you build your skills up. Spiritually speaking, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself this week. What are you going to do to grow spiritually? And then already have in mind not just what you're going to do this week, but how you might expand that just a little bit more the next week. We challenge ourselves, it's going to be difficult. Good. That's how you build muscles, is when you're sore afterward. That's how you grow spiritually. When you're spiritually sore afterward, you feel like, wow, that was a lot of effort I had to put into that. Well, trying to understand that scripture. Or helping my neighbor, I really didn't want to help. That was really difficult for me, and I didn't complain even. Well, I didn't complain twice. But it was a lot of effort. And train yourself to godliness. Don't forget the theme there. Exercise yourself towards godliness. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Father, I ask that you would help us that we might do well in training ourselves to honor you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us that we will grow in the faith. Because as we grow in the faith, we honor you. We want to become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, we will see the blessing of it. For the godly exercise that we do now is not for just the future, but also for the blessings of the here and now as well. Father, I thank you so much for that. And I pray that you would guide us and help us, that we might exercise our godliness, that we might become more and more like your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.